Hi everyone, I'm here today with Juliana Callis, who is a psychic intuitive consultant. Hi Juliana, how are you?
Hi there, Charlotte. Nice to hear your voice.
I know. I can't wait to be able to see people in person again.
I agree with that one.
Right. So can you tell me a little bit about your background and how you came to be a psychic?
Well, sometimes I think your profession chooses you and you don't even know it. And that's kind of what happened to me. I mean, my background is pretty eclectic. I have a traditional background in that I went to traditional college from Boston University, and I have a bachelor's and a master's in education and a CAGS. So I have all the quote unquote normal background that people would have, and which I can also draw on. But I was very fortunate when I was at BU actually to have come across a teacher who was way ahead of her time, not associated with BU, but that taught me a lot about psychic development and psychic skills. I feel that I had natural ability anyway, because, and I do think a lot of it can be genetically induced, because my grandmother and my mother on the Polish side were very, very psychic, and would see things and hear things way ahead of their time. And my grandfather on my father's side was a healer. I mean, he came and he healed people with broken bones from Greece. And so I had that genetically predisposed to me. And then I obviously enhanced my skills, but they really blossomed because I really believe that it's my mission, that this is the work I was meant to do.
I love that. Well, and like you said, your work chooses you.
Yes, your work does choose you, honest to goodness. Mm-hmm. I just finished reading, and many of you have probably already read it, but Eat, Pray, Love. And I really feel that journey that she took, a lot of what happened to her, it chose her and it led her. And one of the things I try to encourage in my clients is, look, I'm simply the guide. I'm a facilitator. I will show you a path. I will put the flashlight on where it looks like it's best for you to go. But then it's self-empowerment. The rest is up to you.
Right. Well, free will, correct? So we have the free will to choose something different than maybe is our path.
Right.
And I think it's interesting to your point. So let's say you were born into the world genetically and you are genetically predisposed to already have these psychic abilities, right, through your relatives. Yet you meet a professor that then is able to further enhance something like that. You could have a choice of like, I'm not really interested in that, but it allowed for that purpose to come through.
But even before it became in vogue, I was always interested in body, mind, spirit connection and what is the spirit and the capabilities of the mind. And so even at a very young age, I was carrying around Edgar Cayce books because that whole aspect fascinated me, past lives, how can we use the mind-body connection to better ourselves. So I already had those inclinations to begin with, and doing my intuitive work, I could expand them in the area. One of the areas of my interest as well is how really the laws of physics do apply to intuitive work, and it's not a woo-woo thing if you know about some of the laws that physics and energy naturally follow. So in that sense, what I do is very normal.
I love that. So explain to me a little bit how, because I believe in all my experiences, which I've had quite a few with intuitive psychics, and you all work differently. So how do you work? You know, how does it come to you, and how do you channel, et cetera? Can you speak to us about that?
Oh, yes. So it's interesting because I think back of how I originally started, and what I did then is nowhere near what I do now. One thing that has been a constant is my guide. I have a guide that I've had from almost day one when I started working on psychic development classes with my teacher, and he has been with me for 40 odd years. So I get a lot of information channeled through him. I have developed a very good ability to read the aura. So, and I can do it by phone because it's an energy field. And the aura is you, basically an energy form. It's like Googling your name and all this information comes up. And the good news about that is that it connects me to you as an energy throughout the course of the whole reading. So reading the aura and my guide, very, very important to me, as well as the vibration of the voice. The voice also has a vibratory energy that can be read. So all of those things I utilize in my readings. I sometimes use tarot cards. I do not need them. I'm schooled in them. I've been kicked out of tarot classes because they told me I knew too much. But I don't believe that. I believe we always can learn something from someone at any given time.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. So what kind of clients do you attract? Because I know there are a lot of people that are like, you know, I get clients that say, oh, I just want to go to a psychic, and they sort of see it as this crystal ball, you know, but what do you attract, or what, you know, you could speak to that a little bit, but also maybe who is your ideal client? And what does that look like?
Oh, my ideal client is a client that wants to work on himself or herself to expand and to evolve as a person. And I've been fortunate enough to have clients with me for 35 years, 40 years. So I'm even reading for their children and grandchildren now. But I've watched them evolve over the years and become able to be more fluent in what they do, more satisfied in what they do, able to experience joy, get rid of the old baggage in their mind. And I'm really good at that. I'm also a very good business intuitive. You would be amazed at the executives that call me, and all they want to do is talk about business and prognostication in that area. I'm also a very good medical intuitive. I've got calls from even doctors and a psychiatrist asking me for information that would help them in their work. And so I would never say I'm a doctor, but I know I'm a good medical intuitive because the visions that I have, it's like an x-ray into the body. I can see things, and people will come back and tell me, you know, when you said you saw this in my mother's leg, we didn't even know it then. And once you got the x-ray, exactly what you saw was there. So that's kind of exciting for me to be able to be confirmed, have it confirmed through medical x-rays and all what I've seen intuitively.
Mm-hmm. So a couple things when you talk about your clients and sort of that ideal client, you know, somebody wanting to build awareness and the growth. And so one question would be, how regularly some psychics say, I'll only see you once a year. Do you have anything do you see people in sort of more of a psychic coaching aspect that you're able to say, okay, I'll talk to you once a month because if you're helping them to build this awareness?
That's a really good question. And believe it or not, Charlotte, that's the question I get asked most often is, well, how, you just read for me. When can I come back? I really learned an awful lot in this session. And I don't put any time frame on it. I say, look, let this evolve, whatever, if I've given you information about a physical condition, a boyfriend, or you're buying a house, let it evolve enough, percolate. So if you're going to ask me about the same thing, we want to make sure that the energy has evolved enough so that we can see either a different path or the same one. But people use me in many different ways. A lot of them call me every 3 months. Some of them call me on their birthdays. Usually it's okay. I'm in a transition period. This is what I tell clients. If I had more information about this particular situation, I know I could make a better choice. That's the time you call me. I had one client the other day and she called me and she's in a personal predicament, and she had been talking to her girlfriend about it, who has also had readings with me. And the girlfriend said, whoop, time to call Juliana on this one. You better get her advice before you go any further. And that's kind of how it evolves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The transition part. So here's a question that I always think about when I'm, you know, utilizing a psychic intuitive is, am I energetically, let's say I'm invested in something, you know, at that point, are you reading maybe what my energy might want? Or is it truly like this is a path that you, in quotes, I'm saying this, should take? Or, and again, we have free will. Do you understand what I mean? Like, I sometimes wonder if I walk into a space and energetically, if I'm putting off something that I really want to happen, are you going to read that, or is that truly what, or are you reading that is to happen? Does that make sense?
Yes, it's a really good question. It's one I've asked myself a lot because guess what, Charlotte? Sometimes you can't tell the difference. Mm-hmm. Now, I coach all my clients, don't think anything, get rid of the thought. And sometimes I'll know. If I'll do a tarot card layout, I'm like, oh my God, these are all your fears. You're still in anxiety state. And they're like, yes, you're right, I am. And then I'll pick the cards for them to shift their energy. But even if I'm doing that or I'm reading their aura, I tell them, don't think anything, because I'll just read your thoughts. And my goal is to get beyond the thoughts into what I call super consciousness, to be able to read beyond them. Now, lately, I've been gifted with a little bit more vision. I've been doing a meditation given to me by an English psychic that is three generations in his family. So he's genetically predisposed to it too. And one of the things that he had me do, I've been doing now for 3 or 4 months, and I wrote about it in my last newsletter. It's like I have a psychic video in my head. I can actually see things even when a client is 3,000 miles away, and I'll go, you have red lipstick on today, and your hair, you did it differently. And they're like, how did you see that? My skills have been so fine-tuned now that I'm seeing what they are, and I know that's them in present time. But I've also have had instances where someone will say something about a situation in their life, and I'll see this like fast forward picture of what's going to happen. It hasn't happened yet, and I know it's so real that I know that is a potential future that is more likely to happen. But your question is really well put, because sometimes unless you're schooled in being able to know the difference, it's really hard to know if you're picking up on a client's thoughts or you're not. So
yeah, I love that. So I want to touch on one thing. You brought it up in the beginning, and it wasn't really where we were going to maybe go today, but, and this could be our whole second time that we have another one of these chats together. But speak to me a little bit, because I'm fascinated with past lives. And so I think it is something you touched upon, so I bring it up. I find it fascinating. How much of that do we bring into our current lives of our past lives? And what is your philosophy or feeling or theory on past lives into our present life?
Again, another good question. One thing I would emphasize before we go the route of past lives, there's a reason that we don't remember our past lives, because we're not supposed to get caught up in the past. We're supposed to evolve, taking the lessons we've learned from past life and evolve into the present life and use them to help ourselves. It's not about reliving the past. So that's a really strong belief that I have. But having said that, yes, there's certain things that we carry from the past as emotional memories. I did a reading once for someone who, she had a real fear of choking, and we trace it back, believe it or not, to Roman times when she was in one of the courts, and she literally choked to death on a grape. And do you know, once that was revealed to her through one of my readings, she never had any choking spells again. So sometimes there is that sort of psychosomatic pull through or bleed through from a past life. But I also think that, you know, there's physics, the laws of physics say that past, present, and future happen at all at the same time, which is really hard for us to get our heads around as humans, because we live in a three-dimensional world. But if that is true, then you're reliving your past life as well as you're reliving your present life all at the same time. Again, a little bit crazy to try and understand, but that's according to the laws of physics. That's not according to the laws of Juliana. And so I find that fascinating as well. So I've seen that we leave behind a psychic trace. Einstein said this, that energy can never die, of who we were in the past. Mm-hmm. And we can tap into it if it's meant to help us in present time. Because it's not about living in the past. That's one thing I want to emphasize.
Yeah. And I think that what I've always liked in my own, you know, feeling on it is that you're coming into this life with, as you said, that you're sort of working through. I mean, you're not remembering your past, but those moments, here's another question. Okay, so deja vu. How do you explain deja vu?
I think some of it is definitely a feeling of having been there before, and it's a remembrance from a past life. Okay. I think some of it is also biochemical, that something gets triggered biochemically by us stepping foot in a certain place or a certain time. But it may not necessarily be that we've lived there in the past. Mm-hmm. was one other thing. Oh, if any of your clients or listeners are interested, there's a really, really good book out called Soul Survivor, S-O-U-L, Survivor. It's about a little boy who remembered his past life, and he was a pilot fighter in World War II, Germany. He was American, and he remembered all, he was drawing drawings, and he remembered all the names of the people that were there with him who died. Some of them lived, and they were able to trace the memory, and the gentleman who lived, who fought with him in that squadron, after they interviewed with him as a little boy at 8 or 9 years old, they were totally convinced that it was he was the reincarnation of their fighter pilot. And in order to pacify that memory, because it was, he died, his plane blew up. This is the little boy now who was an air pilot. They actually went as a group, the airmen who still lived from World War II, and this little boy and his parents, and they went to Hawaii, and they threw wreaths down on D-Day to commemorate it. And that helped assuage and calm his memory. And then the memory went away. Mm-hmm. Because again, I emphasize, we're not supposed to live that life, but if we have a trauma like that, it can affect us. And he had vivid memories to the point where he even knew the names of people.
Right, right. Fascinating.
It is.
Yeah, I didn't mean to digress to the past life, but then the deja vu thing, sometimes I find in my own life, I like in my own belief system of like the soul family, that I come into this life and that maybe you're connecting with a friend that you're like, why do I feel so connected to that person? And, you know, from my own belief system, I think it's nice to believe maybe it's somewhere that we've had some sort of life together before. And some people have religion and I have that.
No. I don't think there's any separation, in my opinion. You know, that in some of the early texts, the Christian texts, reincarnation was freely talked about, and then it was eliminated. So it was there from the get-go. And of course, in Indian cultures and in Hinduism, it's always there. But I remind people too, because I get asked this, oh, I met this person, this guy, this woman, and it feels like my soul sister. I know I've known her in a past life or known him in a past life. And I say, yeah, you probably have. However, it doesn't mean that you're meant to be together in this life. It means that's part of your cluster of connections of soul consciousness, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have to marry him in this life. And people do get confused about that a lot.
Yeah, interesting. Well, yeah. And so I know as we wrap up, you also are doing podcasts right now that I want to make sure that the audience knows that you have put them out on Apple and Spotify, and that's really exciting. So can you speak to that? Because we started talking about it, but we didn't before we started recording. Can you just tell me as we wrap up what the topics are, what they look like, and when they're shared?
Yes. I also want to mention, because I've had clients say, well, I don't have Apple, you know, how else can I listen to them? And you can listen if you go to Buzzsprout too, BUZZ.
Oh, yeah.
That's where my hosting service is. And if you, the title of the umbrella title is A Psychic Guide to Finding Peace. And I chose that title because we all need peace of mind in these challenging times. And we need to stay grounded in patience, love, caring, and light. And so a lot of my current podcasts are focused on giving and receiving. How do I become a light worker? How do I know if I'm a light worker? You know, how small things make a difference. Gratitude, how giving and receiving are actually the same thing. And mm-hmm. I go through, they're shorts because I want people to listen to ground themselves. I'll go through a diatribe about that particular topic with a particular instance that may have happened to me or a client. And then I end with a 2-minute affirmation meditation, grounding technique, breathing technique to help create peace within as we end the podcast. So they're meant to help find peace in these times.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I think a lot of people really, you are a practitioner that I can see many people reaching out to find that, you know, like whether it's the meditative part of it or just the connecting part of it, or the I'm feeling anxious and I need someone to sort of guide me a little bit on that. So I'm glad you're doing those. And
one last thing, because you had mentioned it to me prior and we didn't touch on it. You had mentioned or asked, can you do your work virtually? Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Because I read energy fields, and it's just like having a radio station 500 miles away. Your radio will pick up on the vibe or the radio wave. Well, it's the same thing with me. All I need is name, age, and birthday, and I'm connected to you energetically and through your aura. And so almost even before this challenge that we have, the coronavirus challenge, almost all my readings have been done by phone.
Right, right. Which I know because personally I've done them with you over the phone.
Yeah, that's what you have.
And super powerful and equally as powerful. So glad you shared that. Thanks, Juliana.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
It was great to see you on Zoom, hopefully in person soon.
Yes, I agree. Blessings.